have your Bibles open at that passage that we read together from 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, going into chapter 4. I want to emphasize in particular verses from chapter 4. But I want to put this into a context. This week, I have received a couple of phone calls from a supposed organization. And conversation began something like this. Good morning, sir. My name is so-and-so. I am phoning you from the Microsoft services. And we have to tell you that you have a problem with your computer. So I have to admit, when I get these phone calls, I can be inclined to be a little bit naughty, I will usually string these people along. And I did that with the first one until eventually he put the phone down on me, for which I was grateful. Second time he came, maybe I wasn't feeling quite so contented, or perhaps I wasn't as I should be, and I thought, oh no, not again, and I put it down. But as I told that little story, I could see many of you smiling. You've been there. It's happened to you. Sadly, I've known people who've been duped by it, and one lady in particular, her son had to come and he had to completely reset her computer because she had listened to this man. Somebody else I know sadly lost thousands of pounds because he was told that it was necessary to remove funds from one account into this other account for security. And I tell those stories to illustrate the fact that continually there are people who want to take control of our lives. People who want to take control of your life. And I was talking to the young people last night, and I asked them the question, who's pulling your strings? Who has got control in your life? And in a way, this is what John was writing about in this passage that we have read this morning. If you look at verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false spirits have gone out into the world." And John is saying, look, there are, in his context, he is talking about false teachers. And he is talking, when he uses the term here, spirits, he is talking about the spirits who influence decisions in our lives. And this morning, I want my first heading to be fake calls. Fake calls. And in the first century, as John was writing this, and in the 21st century, there are people who are making fake calls. They are asking us to commit ourselves to different things. John here cites the root of that, the root of those calls to false spirits. Now, you might say this morning that you don't believe in spirits. Well, if that is your position in life, we'll deal with that a little bit more fully as we move into the message this morning. But working from John's starting point, he gives two pieces of advice, and he tells us why he is giving those pieces of advice. First of all, he says, do not believe every spirit. If I use my illustration, don't believe every phone call that you get. Don't believe everyone who approaches you in the street. That's his first bit of advice. The second piece of advice is test the spirits. Be prepared to ask questions and try to get to the bottom. Was it really somebody from the Microsoft Corporation who was phoning me this week? I doubt it very much. But John is saying, test the spirits. And particularly, if I can just give you a bit of practical advice here, this isn't the spirit of what I want to say this morning. Particularly those of you who are older, if you get phone calls from these people, ask questions. If you're uncertain, just put the phone down. And the reason I give that advice is the reason that John gives for the two pieces of advice he gives. Do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits, for many false spirits have gone out into the world. We live in a world that is perverse. We live in a world that was created perfect in the image of God, but sadly has been perverted by sin, has been twisted and has been distorted. So John's first piece of advice, don't believe. And this word in the Bible, you know, is important, this word believe. Don't put your trust in every spirit. They might offer you many things. Today, many so-called churches offer people perfect health. They offer them abundant wealth. They offer them a life that is trouble-free. Well, that isn't the teaching of the Bible. And what John is saying here is, don't put your trust now, and your trust for eternity in false spirits. Don't believe everyone that comes up to you and says, I have got the perfect answer to all of your needs. So don't believe every spirit. So you say, but Bernard, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in a spiritual world. And this word that John uses here, it could be as simple as the breath that comes out of our mouths, this word spirit. Or it could be a superhuman influence. It could be the description of a demon. And this is what John is saying here. There are spiritual forces around us. We may not want to admit that there are spiritual forces. But let me ask you, what about your being, your personality? You know that you are a physical being, don't you? You know that you've got hands, you've got legs, you've got eyes, you've got ears. No one disputes that. But you also know that you've got an intellect. You've got a brain that is able to take in information, is to able to use that information. You've got a brain that controls every part of your body. Now, unless you're a radiologist or whether you've had a CT scan or something like that, none of us has seen our own brains, have we? But do you question whether you've got a brain? Well, I'll leave that up to you to answer. But none of us question whether we've got brains, do we? But there's something else in us, isn't there, as well? We can accept the physical, we can accept the intellectual and the mental, but what is it that makes us tick? If we all get the same information going into our brains, if we all get the same food going into our bodies, and I know that we don't get exactly the same food, what is it that makes me different from you? What is it that makes my personality different from you? And it is that spiritual element, isn't it? There is something that distinguishes us completely from one another. And John is saying here that there are spirits. We all have a spiritual element to our lives. And there is the God in heaven who is the God of love. But there is also a spiritual enemy. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. And when he fell from his position in the presence of God in heaven, he took with him many angels, which today we describe as demons. And friends, there are those influences out there. And they are trying to gain control of our lives. John says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Examine them, ask questions, distinguish, and try to work out what is behind this. And what John is saying here is, don't take it at face value. Because friends, I want to say to you this morning that we are constantly being badgered and being harassed. And there are people who want to influence our decision making. I am going to be honest this morning. I want to influence your decision making. I make no bones about that. I don't want to take control of your life. But I want you to understand what God's word teaches. I want you to understand the need of your life. I want you to understand your position in eternity and not simply here on earth. And then John says, there are many false spirits who have gone out into the world. And the word false here, do you know the word pseudonym? A name that you use in order to cover up your true identity. When we were at school, we would take part in the Eisteddfod, and leading up to the Eisteddfod, perhaps we would have to do some essay writing poetry, etc. And as pupils in the school, we were given pseudonyms so that people wouldn't know who was doing the writing. And they would read the writing for exactly what it said rather than the person who was writing it. Friends, that is a cover-up. That cover-up was to protect us. But the false spirits, the pseudo-spirits, are covering themselves up because they have one goal. Peter says that our enemy is like a lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Friends, we are all objects. We are all the target of fake calls. Whether it's a fake call on the telephone, whether it's a fake call from a false teacher. But now I want us to move on to see faith's focus. The fake calls want to take control of us. Faith's focus is not on us, it's not on the Spirit, but verse 2 tells us, but by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. I said to you earlier, I want to influence your decision making. This verse 2, tells us that God wants control of your life. Not to manipulate you, not to trap you, but in fact to save you, to take you out of the bondage that maybe you've drifted into, or the bondage that the lifestyle of your parents has led you into. to take you out of the results of bad decisions that you have made in your life. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And John has been talking about the false spirits, and here in verse 2 he is talking about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is another way that he is described. And in these verses we have the three persons of the Godhead. We have the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit. We have God mentioned in verse 1. And we have Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. God, the God of creation, God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are completely distinct from all other spirits. Now, if we're going to understand this second verse, I want us to insert a little word in order to understand what John was saying. It doesn't translate easily into English. So if we read verse 2 again, or the first part of it, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus as Christ has come in the flesh." So what John is wanting to say is that Jesus, who was the Son of Mary, who was born as any other human being, who lived and grew up with his earthly parents in the village of Nazareth, who was a teenager, who became a man, that man is the Christ. Because Christ is not a surname. This morning in the children's talk, Ian was talking about his surname being the same as our preacher's next week. But Christ is not a surname. It is a title. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Or Jesus is the anointed one, the one appointed by God. Now, there are people today who will accept Jesus as a man. They will say, yes, he was a good teacher. He influenced people. Yeah, he had some sort of miraculous power that helped him to help other people. But he was no more than a man. I cannot believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. There are other people who down through history have taught that Jesus is God. And that when Jesus, the man, was here on earth, then God took control of him and he lived a perfect life. But when he went to the cross, somehow God left him. It wasn't God the Son who died on the cross. Now, we cannot explain how the eternal God, the one who is the source of life, as we were looking at in our harvest services recently, the one who created this world, we cannot understand how the Son of God could die. But friends, this is what the Scripture teaches us, that Jesus the man is the Christ, the one appointed by God, and he is the one who, through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his praying for us in heaven now, his return, is going to save us. But John is saying here, test those spirits, but believe the Spirit of God. Believe that Jesus has come into the world at the command of God. We read in chapter 3 and verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Friends, I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus came to die in the place of sinners? Do you believe that you need a Savior to save you from your sin? Do you believe that you have been affected by these false spirits and by the false spirit, Satan, who has led you away? Friends, you do not have to live without hope. Many of us, we go through life and we enjoy good health, and then suddenly or slowly we become aware, oh, I'm not thinking quite as clearly as I used to be, or I'm not walking quite as sprightly as I once did. Oh, my back is not what it used to be. Now, we can ignore all those signs, but if we are wise, we will go to the doctor and we will say, this has started happening. I'm feeling the influence of this. The doctor will say, I know what that is. Or he'll say, I'm not sure what that is, but I want you to go and see somebody who I know will help you. And a diagnosis is made. And they say, you are suffering from this, and therefore you need this treatment. What do you do at that point? You say, oh no, it's all right. I've had a good life, I'll carry on. No, I'm sure I'll get over it. If you are wise, you will say, I accept the diagnosis, and I gratefully will go through the treatment because I want to be delivered from this. And friends, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to each of us. We have been trapped and ensnared by sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. John says that we are to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you do that today? Will you come to that place where you acknowledge, yes, my life has been perverse, but I come to him and I trust him. I call upon him for salvation. Now, John is writing to these people not as the great qualified teacher. He is writing to them with an intimate concern for them. He begins this chapter with the term beloved. When we come to verse 4, he says, little children. And he's not looking down on them. A few weeks ago, I used the Welsh expression, boys bach, and that term of endearment. And that is what John is saying here. Look, I feel for you. I'm involved in you. And he goes on to say, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, I've pleaded with people to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, I want to talk to those of you who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have trusted him. But you know the battles in life. You know the temptations. You know that these spirits are not giving up. They are constantly trying to tell you, you need that. You should do this. Why give God that priority in your life? And John is saying to these people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, You are from God and have overcome them. Friends, I want to speak to you this morning of your security as Christians. I was reading recently, and in fact I think I'm going to include it in my letter in the Gazette in next month, about us being members of the body of Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Our head is in heaven, and therefore we are secure. But John is here talking about a battle, and he is saying that you have overcome them. For us as Christians, when we have come to the place where we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us, when we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives, when we have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to guide us day by day, we have the assurance, one, our sins are forgiven, and two, we have the power to live according to what God wants us to do. And John is saying, look, don't be threatened by them. Christ has saved you. Christ is keeping you. Christ will not let you go. We used to sing a chorus years ago, on the victory side, on the victory side, no foe can daunt me, no fear can haunt me, on the victory side. And that is the truth that is coming out in this verse. But you say, Bernard, there are times that I go through the battle, and I don't know if I have overcome. I know what you're going through, but let me ask you, do you trust the Lord Jesus? Do you believe that he will ever let you down? He won't. I might let you down. Your family might let you down. Other people might let you down. But Jesus has won the victory. He has overcome. And John is saying, we have overcome the world. And he goes on to talk about this again in the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Do you trust him, friends? Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. That's all we can do. You cannot win the victory on your own, but by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you will overcome the world. And John goes on, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple in the Old Testament, said, Lord, we've built this house for you, but even the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. And that is how great our God is. We cannot ever conceive of his greatness. But I want to ask you today, where is he? I've said to you, he's in heaven. Am I contradicting myself now with what I'm going to say? He's in you. If any man is in Christ, I trust tonight I'll expound that verse. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So as Christians, we are in Christ. But as Christians, Christ is also in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Beware of the fake calls. Focus on faith's focus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a matter of sentences, my third point this morning, fake's folly. Anything else is foolishness. Verse 3 says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Friends, if anybody purports to be a Christian and does not point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a fake. He is the Antichrist, and he gives you no hope. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Verse 5 says, "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them." Every unbeliever argues in a circle. I want to believe this because it makes me feel good. I'll believe that person because they make me feel good. I don't want your Bible because it tells me I'm a sinner. I don't want a Savior called Jesus because I want to save myself. The world says, try hard and you'll do it. The Bible says, you have got no hope on your own. But come to Christ and you will find peace with God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. By this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Do you believe that this morning, friends? Do you have trust, or have you been duped by the false callers? May God help each of us to trust him and to rely upon him. Let's sing our final hymn this morning, which in the hymn book is 709. And it says, "In tenderness he sought me, the Lord Jesus Christ, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again." The chorus, "Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold." Let's rise to sing.